Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hans and I are hanging out here at Tim Daly Infinity, about 4550 South State Street. Real easy to find. We got a bunch of jazz gear, jazz hats. You want to stop by and grab something, we can get you hooked up. Also, I have tickets, vouchers to some Bees games. First come, first serve on these. You can take them pretty much to any game, and you can then swap them out for tickets, and then it will also get you into the Ford Fan Zone. It's an all-you-can-eat where they'll put you in a section where you can have all the hot dogs and churros and drinks you could possibly shove down your gullet.
It just brings a smile to my face. Late summer, early spring, dogs, the crack of a bat.
Yeah. I just want to get to the point where I can not think of something like that and then be angry that I'm not doing that right now. Because I'm really in a salty mood.
I know. I know. But look at you, man.
Look at nothing.
No, look
nothing,
at you.
Nothing. No.
I'm not steering you wrong, bud.
I'm angry.
The results are.
I want to go over to our place. That's about kitty corner from where we're at right now.
I do too. And I want to hunker down, bury in like a tick.
Sushi and pot stickers and just go nuts.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
After the show?
Nope.
Ah, come on.
Come on, we're going to do better.
Joining us now, Michelle Gardner, Arizona State beat writer for the Arizona Republic, kind enough to join us right here on the Zone Sports Network. Has got a big one as BYU gets set to take on Arizona State. Michelle, how are you?
Hi, Michelle.
I'm okay, I guess. I mean, I just walked out of the practice field, and it's, you know, we normally don't get viewing on Thursday. They shut us out of practice yesterday very unexpectedly, but they said we could come for 10 minutes this morning. So it's a really weird vibe around here right now.
Does Herm have something up his sleeve? Has he got something he's cooking for Saturday?
I don't think it's Herm. I think Herm's got people in his ear telling him, you know, you need to look out for the media because they're against you. And Herm loves us for the most part. But I think he's got people in his ear telling him what to do. And just, you know, and especially with this investigation looming, I think they're way more guarded than they've been in the past. So it's just kind of a weird dynamic around here right now.
Well, Michelle, Scotty and I spent a lot of time yesterday talking about the assistant staff that was taken off the field and out of camp. And I'm really curious, can you give us a timeline and a better understanding of staff leaving, staff returning, if they are back in those coaches' rooms? And if not, who's taking over and who's coaching right now?
Well, Adam Brenneman is the tight ends coach, and he was the first one that was kind of put on leave. And then about a week and a half later, it was wide receivers coach Prentice Gill and defensive backs coach Chris Hawkins that were put on leave as well. Now, those are the three youngest coaches on the staff. Brenneman and Hawkins are both 26, and I believe Prentice Gill is either 30 or 31. So, and they're all really regarded as dynamic, you know, aggressive recruiters, and a lot of these allegations are in, you know, the recruiting realm. So, but when you look at the quality of people Herm has in the program, I don't think from an on-field standpoint that there's that much of a drop-off. The person coaching the tight ends right now is a guy named Justin Wood. And Justin Wood was on Zach Hill's staff at Boise State. Mm-hmm. And he was a consultant here or something like that. So he was with Zach Hill at Boise, so he knows the offense. So there's not a big drop-off there. The wide receivers coach is Bobby Wood, who was serving as a GA. And Bobby Wood was one of the greatest receivers ever at the University of Arizona. So he's got pretty good pedigree. And again, he was in the program. So it's not like they've brought in strangers from outside. And then Donnie Henderson has been serving as the D backs coach. Obviously he's got NFL pedigree too. He's kind of more of an old timer as opposed to the younger guys. So Herm's had good people around him. And I don't think from the standpoint of a coaching on the field standpoint, I don't see that that's been much of a difference. Now, where it will hurt is in the recruiting realm, because those were the three men that are on leave were your three best recruiters. also, and again, it's hard to recruit right now when there's uncertainty hanging over the program. So I don't think from an on-field coaching standpoint there's much of a difference. Where this may show up is in the recruiting realm.
When is there any anticipation on when those guys might be available again, or how the process of this? Because, I mean, we've seen investigations. You look at, like, North Carolina. I mean, that thing went years and years and years. Is that kind of the perhaps the same timeline we might be looking into something like this?
You know, I don't know if it's going to be years, or kind of like the Arizona basketball thing that seemingly has been going on forever. I don't think we're looking at that case of scenario. But, you know, it just depends on how many people, who you're talking to, and if they're, you know, cooperating witnesses, if you want to call it that. So if you've got people that are forthcoming, and I'm sure they're calling these recruits that were allegedly on campus. So I think it just depends on how forthcoming the people are that you're interviewing. But I can't see anything happening before the end of this season, though.
Well, I want to take a look back at this Arizona State UNLV game. A couple of drives out of the gates in the first half. UNLV goes down the field. They keep this thing close and interesting. And then Jaden Daniels does his thing. He's a spectacular talent. But in that second week of action, first week of FBS action, give me some of your thoughts, your breakdowns of what your expectations were for Arizona State and where they may have met him and may not have met him.
You know, it's really hard to tell because of the level of the competition. I think the thing right now, the glaring void and the thing that we're all still looking for is who's going to be the go-to wide receiver. We've been saying that since March. So they really haven't had a guy emerge as that receiver. And the other thing is they don't really have anybody, at least to this point, that's stretching the field. They're throwing a lot of underneath stuff and short out passes. But very rarely are they even looking deep. And really last week, the only time they even attempted to go deep was the touchdown pass with about 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter, where Jaden threw to Bunkley Shelton for, I think it was 33 yards. So that was really the only time they looked to go deep. And you've got to stretch the field at some point, you know, against the better foes. So I think that is the number one thing that people are still looking for. And as far as Jaden goes, yes, he ran for 125 yards, but Herm was the first one to say, we don't want our quarterback running for 125 yards. That's not the best case scenario. So,
yeah, he had 13 carries, 125 yards, so that's not part of who they are. Now, that now the week before against Southern Utah was relatively, you know, 40 yards on less than 10 carries. So I guess the how he performed against Southern Utah is probably a little bit more indicative of how they're going to use him in the rushing attack.
I would think so, yes. Jaden seemed to get happy feet in the pocket a little bit and seemed to not be waiting for the blocks and, you know, to develop. He seemed to kind of run kind of prematurely, if you want to call it that, at least on a couple of occasions. So I think he's got to trust his linemen and kind of hang in the pocket more before he takes off.
As you've kind of watched Herm through this ordeal that he's going through, and you watched him through camp and you watched him through these first two games, how is he holding up?
Herm is Herm. He doesn't change. He's actually, you know, we've talked about this, you know, when he meets with the press on Monday, he's his normal Herm self. He's his normal charismatic self. The only thing I can say is not only him, but like it just seems like information around here is a little cryptic. And again, I think he's been told to keep it close to the vest as far as, you know, when a guy's not at practice and we ask why somebody's not at practice, and the canned response is, well, we're working through things. Well, what does that mean? Is it academics? Is it athletic? Is he hurt? Does he have a class that he couldn't be? I mean, When you're that cryptic, you leave it up to way more speculation than if you told us what it was. So, you know, when it comes to that, he said everybody was going to play after the game on Saturday. He said, oh, everybody's good to go. Well, I'm not so sure Chip Traynham's going to play, the running back who was kind of the second back behind Rashad White. He sprained an ankle in the very first game, did not play Saturday. We all kind of can't see him playing. When I say we, I see the media. We've kind of talked about it amongst ourselves. And I can't see Chip Traynham playing this week.
What's the level of expectations there for this team this year? You go to Pac-12 Media Day, and USC always is picked to finish first, which obviously with the discord in that program, who knows how that's going to play out. But then it was Utah and Arizona State right there kind of neck and neck. Is there expectations there in that community for this team to compete and maybe win a South Division title?
Absolutely. I mean, and you look at this year, if they're going to do it, it's now or never, because they do have 20 seniors come, or 20 returning starters coming back. And, you know, Jaden, they want to say, he wants to say he's going to be gone after this year, because he kind of made no secret of, you know, three and then I'm out of here. But his development has kind of been stagnated a little bit, I think, by the shortened year in 2020. But I most definitely think that they're all in this year. And that might be another reason that everything is closely guarded to the vest, because maybe they don't want anything, any little thing out, because they think that this is their year and they have to be all in.
So, Michelle, as you know, BYU is bringing about six or seven very solid targets offensively, guys that are good at the tight end position and good wideouts, very good wideouts that have had a lot of early success against Arizona and Utah. I want to know Arizona State's ability to defend multiple targets in a defensive backfield with their nickels, their safeties, their corners, and their different packages. How versatile are they at defending different looks offensively?
Well, I actually think that's one of the strengths of the ASU defense is when you look at their starting defensive backs, they have, I think I looked at the notes today, and it's 131 career starts by their defensive backs.
Wow.
That's a lot, yes. Mm-hmm. And you're looking at a guy like a Chase Lucas that's in his sixth, he's a sixth-year senior. If he plays the rest of this year, he's going to set the career record for starts. So that's where their experience is. That's where they're really loaded. So, you know, that might be the strength of the BYU offense, but I think it's also the strength of the ASU defense. So, and they've actually got depth there too. So, I think that ASU is pretty well set in that regard. They've got good caliber players on the back end of the defense.
Well, I think that that's the premier matchup of the game then, because I know I was watching ASU against UNLV. UNLV couldn't get a pass off. They couldn't complete a pass. I think they were under 70 yards in that game against Arizona State. And as I was watching, I was thinking, boy, that might be a really good matchup. I just wasn't real sure of that depth of the Arizona State defensive backs. But I think that that should be the premier matchup, Michelle.
Well, and you look at it was kind of a tale of two halves. In the second half, ASU gave up 19 yards total offense.
Wow.
That's ridiculous, okay? If you notice, they just dialed up the pass rush too, and I think that was a big factor in that too. They couldn't get a pass off. So we talked to the defensive line coach yesterday, and he said that, yeah, they need to dial up the pass rush a little bit earlier than they did in that game. And I think that they've kind of likened the quarterback from UNLV a little bit to the BYU quarterback in as far as their skill set. So they're thinking the adjustments that they made in the second half of that game last week can go a long way towards preparing them for this week, because the quarterbacks are kind of similar.
You know, you bring up a good point, because that quarterback ran for 43 yards on 8 carries. That wasn't his primary function, was to run the ball, but he was able to get out in space and get some yards. Is that something where they feel like Arizona State, with Jaren Hall, they can pin their ears back and get after him, or do they got to be a little wary of his ability to escape the pocket and make plays with his feet?
Both. Yeah. And that's what the defensive line coach said yesterday. He definitely thinks that, he said, you know, he's going to get loose once or twice. You got to kind of minimize the damage. So again, they, you know, if you look at the adjustments ASU made last week from the first half to the second, you know, Brumfield got some yardage in the first half, but in the second half, that yardage wasn't there.
Michelle, I went back and watched that Arizona State UNLV game, and number 20, I believe his last name is Butler. You talked about the pressure that they brought in the second half, and they used him a lot in different blitzes, different looks, stunt blitz. Is that primarily what they love to do with number 20? Is he just a versatile backer? I mean, give me a little bit of background on him, because he jumped out off the screen on
I think he's arguably been their best player this year. he came into camp in better shape than he's ever been in. Not necessarily weight-wise, but you could tell that he had trimmed down and it was muscle. And he's got 2 sacks and 2 interceptions, and he's the only player in the country that's got 2 sacks and 2 interceptions. And that kind of tells you about his versatility. And the interesting thing about Darian Butler is when he came out of high school, he was like they talked 3-star, 4-star, 5-star recruits. He was like a no-star recruit. He just really wasn't that highly recruited. But Antonio Pierce knew him, because when Antonio Pierce, who's the defensive coordinator and recruiting coordinator, before he came to ASU, he coached at Long Beach Poly, and his teams played against Darian Butler's teams. So he basically took a flyer on Butler and said, look, I know this guy. I've watched him for several years. And he could be a very, very good player for us. And, you know, again, he really wasn't recruited out of high school. So now you look at the way Butler is playing, and, you know, that's quite a coup on Pierce's part to be able to see that from the kid as a high schooler when nobody else could see it and say, hey, I think this kid can translate into a very good player. So, yes, Darian Butler has been an impact player in every way, shape, or form. I think he's been the best player on this team, either side of the ball, through 2 weeks.
Hey, Michelle, this has been a lot of fun. Thanks for carving out a few moments for us. I know you're busy leading up to game day, but thanks for your time, and let's do it again soon.
Anytime.
Michelle Gardner, Arizona State beat writer for the Arizona Republic. And by the way, we talked to a lot of beat writers. That might be my favorite conversation, because we learned a lot. That's a beat writer that is dialed in on the team they cover. That was incredible.
And you could tell she has a lot of passion for what she does. You're right. I actually leaned over to Scotty in the middle of that, and I said, this is really good. So fantastic job, and so much information. I mean, we didn't even ask her about some of the injury concerns that Arizona State might be going through, and she did mention that their second-string running back might not be available for this game.
Yeah.
I believe White is their first-string running back. I think his last name's White. He's very good. Very, very good. Good downhill runner. Good speed. Open field guy. Can do a lot.
But yeah, Rasheed White has got 29 carries. He's got about a 5.5-yard average, 154 yards, 4 touchdowns on the ground.
Oh, he's good.
Leading rusher in terms of yards is Jaden Daniels. Now, that was with the 125 that he had last week, which, as you heard Michelle and also she mentioned Herm Edwards said this, they don't want him average at 125 a game.
Mm-hmm.
It's not who they are.
So he's spectacular, but having their depth at running back be hit like that might be an issue. Maybe that puts a little bit more weight on Jaden Daniels. And I know that they don't want to run Jaden, but you can't take that away from Jaden. That would be like taking it away from Tyler Huntley, for those of you that remember former Utah quarterback. You just couldn't. As much as I wanted them to take that away from him and keep him healthy and make him a pocket passing quarterback, if you take that away, it takes away a lot of what makes them great. You take that away from Jaden, and that takes a huge aspect of Arizona State's offense away from him.
Yeah.
And then I brought up that number 20.
Butler.
So when I was watching the UNLV game, they used him way different than when they were playing against Southern Utah. So Butler was in coverage a lot against Southern Utah. He ran some pressures. But in the second half of that game against UNLV, they love to move that guy around, and they love to throw him at the quarterback. He had a couple of picks against Southern Utah alone. He had 2 picks against SUU. And then all of a sudden turns into a rushing backer. So I think that they love his versatility. He'll be all over the field. Watch number 20 coming up Saturday night. If you're a BYU fan, you're going to be out there. Number 20 is going to be a guy on the defensive side of the ball that's going to make a difference.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, we're live here at Tim Daly Infinity. Come by, check out this lot, the best lot in the, frankly, best showroom in the state. You feel like you're a little classier when you walk in here. And they got the vehicles to match. Now, look, you've always wanted Infinity. I've always wanted Infinity. When you drive one of these rides, you're a better person. Your kids respect you a little bit more. Life's a little bit better. And I might add, you may think to yourself, I don't know, man. I don't know if I'm in a place where I can make an Infinity work. Well, the only way you're going to find out is if you come down here talk to any of the great staff here and find out if it works for you, because they've got lease options. They've got used inventory. They've got some great financing opportunities for you as well. And remember, all these vehicles come with the forever warranty as well. So once you make that investment into this Infiniti, you know it's going to be on the road for as long as you own it.
You know, the other thing I love about being here, this is the only Infiniti dealership.
Yep. You want a new Infiniti? You got to come down here to get it. It's all right here at Tim Daly Infiniti, 4550-ish State Street. Real easy to find. You come by. Johnny's got some jazz gear. We also have tickets to the RV show. We got tickets to an upcoming Bees game. Just a voucher. You can swing by, grab some tickets. And it's an all-you-can-eat Bees ticket, too, which means you get all the hot dogs and churros and drinks you can possibly shove down your face. Let's make it happen. It's all right here at Tim Daly Infiniti, right here on the Zone Sports Network.
It's game week for the Cougars. And the Zone Sports Network is getting you ready for kickoff.
It ain't over till it's over.
After their emotional win against the Utes, BYU welcomes in another Pac-12 opponent as Arizona State rolls into Lavelle Edwards Stadium this Saturday. Listen all week for your chance to win tickets to the game, and then catch the Cougar pregame show Saturday at 6 with a postgame show immediately following the game on the Zone Sports Network. From Monday morning to the post-game press conference, nobody brings you better coverage of Cougar football than 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Good, the bad, the ugly, right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network, all brought to you by Zero Res. Time to get that A-plus in carpet cleanliness. Patented process cleans your carpets without soap, shampoos, harsh chemicals, and leaves zero dirt attracting residue behind, so your carpets will stay cleaner longer. Schedule your appointment right now. Go to 801-288-9376. That's 801-288-9376. And let's make it happen. Right here on the Zone Sports Network. Hans, time for your good right here on the Zone Sports Network. And frankly, when you look at the good, you look at the fact that we got ourselves another good weekend of college football coming up. Tomorrow, Utah State and Air Force. I am fired up for that game, by the way.
So I saw Air Force in all of their arrogance and confidence decided to send a tweet yesterday.
Yes, I did. I saw that.
I'm sure that the team saw that. That's really their overall record against Utah State?
The 35-7.
That
they're referencing the score also of last year's game too. But yeah. I was
shocked. And I saw it highlighted down underneath that 35-7 record against Utah State.
Yeah.
So I didn't know if it was the score or if it was the record, but it underneath, and this was sent from the Air Force football Twitter account.
Yes.
That's pretty braggadocious. I mean, that's pretty boisterous.
And it says Air Force football beats USU football at an away game, 35-7 in Logan, traditionally a difficult place to play. Air Force was firing on all cylinders. Go Falcons. Good game, Utah.
So Air Force is they're picking a fight.
A playground fight.
They want to pick a fight. I always loved it when teams wanted to pick a fight. Now, we didn't have social media back in my day, so they'd do it through newspaper articles and they'd do it through comments in the newspaper articles, and you'd definitely get word back that they're talking crap. It just wasn't as instant as it is now.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of Utah State players that have a Twitter account, and they're like, 35-7, huh? So you want to tweet that out with a picture of your team from your account. All right. Utah State, I hope that is a fun motivator.
Yeah.
If I'm a defensive tackle on that Utah State team, I'm like, okay.
All right.
I'm going to shut these guys up.
Last year was a different team.
Yeah.
You may have gotten
a fight,
this last year.
A playground fight.
Yes, David.
I forgot to ask Blake Anderson, the new Utah State head coach. Now, I know that he just prepared for North Dakota's attack.
Correct.
But I forgot to ask him if he's ever defensively been a part of preparation for Air Force.
Well, I brought that up. He mentioned, we talked about it on the coaches show. So in the Sun Belt, they play Georgia Southern. Georgia Southern runs a triple option, very similar to Air Force. So he's got a situation like that. When he was in the ACC, he defended Georgia Tech, who runs a triple option. They've since gone away from it. And then he said, hey, I coached in New Mexico. We played Air Force every year. That was back when, you know, in the time you were playing in the late 90s, early 2000s. So he said, look, it's not like we're walking into this thing blind and never seen this offense before. Now, Georgia Southern does things quite a bit. I mean, Air Force does things quite a bit better than Georgia Southern. Yeah. Said, but still, we know the basic tendencies. If we end up not winning this game, it's going to be because we didn't execute well, not because our coaches came into this thing blind, not knowing what they're walking into.
You know, the difference between the 1 year that I lost to Air Force and the 3 years that we beat them? What's difference? That? It was that dang receiver. Stupid receiver.
They always have that
and
guy.
I brought that up with Blake.
Yep.
And Blake actually went further into it than I expected him to go, and he was like, that's the separator.
Yep.
And so if Air Force has that separator, then that might make a difference.
And they've got a guy, his name's Ryan Comier, who's got that same kind of build that's like that 6'3", 225 guy that can block you on the outside, and then also – when you know, your defensive backs start peeking in the backfield, can hit you over the top. He's only got one catch, but on the season, they've only completed 6 passes on the season in their first 2 games of the year. But there's always that guy that they can hit you way over the top, and they have receivers that average like 23, 25 yards a catch because they're either hitting the dive, hitting the pitch, hitting the option, or hitting you over the top.
It's real simple, man. We're going to see how disciplined this Utah State defense is. It's that simple.
Yep. Great point. All right, there's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
I want to know how an NFL team has a Hall of Fame wide receiver, the second greatest and second most recognizable player in organization history, and you've got beef over $1.6 million.
Yeah.
To the point where Megatron, Calvin Johnson, doesn't even interact with the program, doesn't even interact with the organization, doesn't like talking to ownership, doesn't like being around because of $1.6 million. It was crazy how this all happened. Now, when he left the game back in 2015, the organization came back and they were able to take $1.6 million of his signing bonus back.
Yeah.
Now, he was irritated about it, and the comments that he just made yesterday about it, he said, I'm not going to close this chapter, but I'm not going to bend over backwards to try and do anything because I didn't do anything. I did my job. I'm not saying they got to repay me the $1.6 million all up front, but they need to figure out a way to do it and not have me work for it because I already worked for it. That is in reference to the Detroit Lions. Scotty came to him and said, all right, so this $1.6 million, we're going to do a 3-year deal that would pay you $500,000 a year for appearance fees and a $100,000 donation for the Johnson Charities. That was the deal that the Lions rolled out for him to get that $1.6 million back. And he was like, I worked for that money, man. I'm about the only good thing to come out of the Lions organization in how many years? This how you're going to treat me? And now he's getting a little bit vocal in public about it. This is the first public speaking in regards to this situation that I've heard from Calvin.
It just kind of breaks your heart a little bit because that dude was everything to that organization. That's all they had. And for them not to be able to celebrate a first ballot Hall of Famer like that, and to just kind of ignore that it happened not talk about it, it's a shame. Over in the grand scheme, look, $1.6 million to us is life-changing. $1.6 million to the Detroit Lions is nothing. Here's a guy that probably wakes up every morning in a great deal of pain, never had an opportunity to make any kind of playoff runs because your teams were always garbage around him.
I think he left because of the pain.
And so give him his $1.6 million. That's a drop in the bucket for an NFL franchise. Give the
this
man
is petty.
give the man his money. It was petty to take it away from him in the first place. It was petty to make him try to earn it in appearance fees. Like, go out there and give the man his money and let him live his life, and then celebrate him. Put him in the Ring of Honor or whatever you have. Put a statue out in front of that stadium for him. He deserves it. He's earned it. Go out there and take care of him. Because that stuff gets around. Players notice that kind of stuff. Free agents notice that stuff. When you have a guy who bleeds and sweats for your team like that, and that's how you repay him?
Another thing I thought was interesting about his comments, he said, look at how the Colts treated Andrew Luck when he left. Look how the Cowboys treated Tony Romo when he left. When those guys wanted to leave, their bodies were done. They were done. Go look at how those organizations treated them. And this is how I get treated. It's just asinine that you would handle it this way. Does Barry Sanders have a good relationship with that Detroit Lions organization?
I've seen him get trotted out for coin tosses and stuff like that every now and then, but I'm not sure.
I would say probably better than Megatron.
Is it better than Megatron?
Yeah, because he retired abruptly too.
Yeah. Yeah, very.
Yeah. It's just a shame, man. Take care of your guys. All right, there's your bad. Let's get to the ugly.
And, of course, the ugly.
Hey, Lloyd, you want to break this down for us?
No.
Las Vegas Raiders defensive tackle Gerald McCoy suffered a season-ending knee injury in Monday night's overtime win against the Ravens. Right guard Danzel Good also suffered a torn ACL in his left knee. He's out for the season. They were placed on IR yesterday. The Raiders signed defensive tackle Damian Square and guard Jordan Simmons in corresponding moves to try to fill those roles. But
Raiders have 17 players from Monday night's game on the injury report now. 17.
Boo freaking who?
Wow. Including their backup quarterback that had, what, one play? What?
Mariota.
And it looked like he got injured on that play.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, it was like a 31-yard run.
Yeah, it was a quad injury. So he's on the injured list. You know what? I thought an interesting aspect of this, you just mentioned Damian Square and Jordan Simmons, the guys they brought in. One thing that people need to know, and there are a lot of BYU and Utah players on practice squads, one if not both of these guys was signed off of another team's practice squad. That was always one thing when I was on a practice squad, or if you spend any time on a practice squad, at any point, a team can bring you from that practice squad, but they have to activate you.
Yeah, you have to be on their active roster. You can't go practice squad to practice squad.
But you can go active roster from practice squad. Correct. And so that was always an incredible thought in the back of your mind, like, boy, at any time, anybody could pick me up. And
that'd be funny, like your agent calls you up and says, hey, there's a flight leaving Indianapolis at 2:05 to Cleveland. I need you to be on it.
Because
you're playing for the Browns this week.
In two, three days you're playing. Yeah. It would be really hard to kind of comprehend and absorb all that. And it's difficult to get a guy ready to play 1 week later. It's almost impossible. I mean, you could do it, and you're just running bases, and then you're having the tackle tilt inside, and you're having the center turn, and they're giving you indicators and trying to help you with your assignments, but it can be a real mess. I'm with you, Scotty. I like when the Raiders are good. When the Raiders are good, the NFL is just better.
Yeah.
And this team has a chance.
I mean, well, I don't know. I don't know if that's true or not, because we haven't seen the Raiders be good in 20 years. So,
Who was good more recent?
Why are you attacking your team?
What are you doing?
The Knicks? Ooh, that's a good question. Who's been relevant?
The Raiders, because they had that 1 year where they at least went to the playoffs.
2016?
So they went to the
Knicks have been more putrid through that time.
So I don't know, Lloyd. They've been to a finals in like, when did they go to the finals and lose to the Spurs? I guess that was like 98, 99. And the Raiders went to the Super Bowl in what, 02, 03?
02, 03, yes. 20 years.
Well, it's pretty close and comparable.
And had Tony Siragusa not body slammed Rich Gannon, would have had a Super Bowl.
That was a bad one.
The cheapest move I've ever seen in my life.
Hey, Siragusa went away pretty quick. He was doing sidelines.
Good.
Oh.
Oh. That bum deserved to be gone.
The bum.
Yeah, he was kind of a character, wasn't he? Like, I mean, he didn't offer any kind of insight. Was just there babbling.
He was just there to look funny.
I really do think that the deal was null and void when they went to him on the sideline and he had a bacon, ham, and cheese bagel sandwich that he was eating while he was talking. And they were like, so what's going on down there on the sidelines, Tony? And the camera pans on him and he's brushing crumbs off the side of his cheek and off his shirt, trying to swallow whatever bite he just took so he could give a report.
I mean, come on, that's a football player right there. That's
he was something else. He was a piece of work. So is he still on the sidelines? Is that recent?
No, that is not recent.
Oh, it says is
Tony's he's gone from Fox Sports.
Gone as in not with us anymore?
Nope, just from Fox Sports.
I don't know about that, yeah.
And don't sound so excited when you say that, Lloyd. That
I wasn't excited. I was just like, wow, he's gone. Really is gone.
Lloyd, don't be wishing death on people.
I didn't. I just said, whoa, he's gone. Oh, no.
I don't know. It seems like you were pretty fired up at the thought of him not being with us anymore.
Hey. I can still see him 20 years later, belly flopping right on Rich Gannon.
Yeah, he did just kind like of last, on him.
Like the guy's down and just putting all his weight, all 360 pounds of himself right on his shoulder.
He might be a little north of that too. All right, hands of Scotty, 97.5, 1280, The Zone, and the Zone Sports Network. Hey, Lloyd, have we got confirmation on our next guest? Confirmed. You ready for your weekly game day weather report?
Yes, we need it.
Alana Brophy will join us next, 97.5, 1280, The Zone, and the Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK.
Samson Nacua joins us now, BYU wide receiver.
The schedule goes on, and it was a big emotional win. Fans stormed the field. We all saw all that stuff. How do you put that behind you now? Because you got a whole bunch of games. You got another Pac-12 team coming up this week.
I think it's an easy win to put behind us. I think that game is just another game to us for what we have planned for this year, and we have to focus on this next game. We want to do big things this year. We want to show everyone that last year wasn't a fluke, that we can do the same thing, and it starts with this game again. We knocked out two Pac-12 teams already. Let's knock out one more Pac-12 team, and then move into regular season and show everyone what we can do.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and The Zone Sports Network. The teams you're passionate about are going to be playing this weekend in college football. Weather is always a factor, and to help break it down from ABC4, Pinpoint Weather, not just meteorologist, no, chief meteorologist and good friend of the station, Alana Brophy, joining us. Alana, how are you?
Hi, Alana.
Oh, hi, gentlemen. Happy Thursday. I'm doing great. How are you?
We missed you last week. How was the vacation?
It was amazing. It was a nice little breather. I felt like after all the smoke in Utah, I need to see some blue sky. So I was able to do that, which was good news. But I miss Utah when I'm gone. I tell you what, I want to put down the phone, but no, I can't. I'm like looking at the weather pattern, paying attention. I can't sleep on that. I just can't sleep on it. It's a full-time gig. The walkout song made me giggle today, guys.
You like that?
Yeah, it was good.
So last week, Lloyd says in our ear, because we're like, hey, we need to get the weather report. And Lloyd says, Alana's on vacation. And Scotty said, I didn't approve that. And I thought, wait a second. Wait, is she now an employee on the station?
She might as well be.
I was like, don't at me. No.
I mean, she's more reliable than Gordon Monson on coming on the air, so why not? Hey, you know what? I'm calling the game in Logan last week, and I'm looking at the weather on my iPhone, and this is what happens when I don't get a chance to chat with Alana. It says everything's going to be fine. We had an hour and a half lightning delay, and I had no idea because we didn't get a chance to chat.
Oh, I hate that. I know. I'm sorry. I hate when that happens. And everyone always goes, well, why do I need you? I have it on my phone. The phone's a computer. And you know what? You control, alt, delete. It's not right, folks. It's not right all the time. So I'm sorry about the delay. I know it was crazy. And that after the youth game with the delay. I mean, like, the weather has been tough. And you know what, guys? This week we're actually going to see it in a couple spots. And that's for the Wildcats and for BYU. Because we do have a chance of some storms sneaking in on Saturday. And you know what? Your phone may not tell you that. We're looking at that moisture, and as we kind of get that daytime heating, could get enough lift where we could see some thunderstorms. So we could see more lightning delays for some of the teams this week. So I know it's not ideal, especially for fans.
Ooh, so this is important. So you got Weber State with a huge game against James Madison, BYU at home against Arizona State. So, you know, you got a few miles between Ogden and Provo. Are they looking at the same kind of weather this weekend?
So we get a better chance of storms in Provo. Central Utah has a better shot, but we're talking percents here, maybe 30-20. But we do have the chance of afternoon storms. So temperature-wise, we're going to be similar. So in Ogden, for that Wildcat game, we're going to see highs in the low 80s. As we head into the afternoon, some breezy conditions. I mean, we're looking at winds probably up to 15 miles per hour. So it's a little breezy there. You're going to notice the gusty winds at times, but that southerly flow can get gusty and it drags the moisture in. So Provo has a better chance. BYU has a better chance of seeing storms than the Wildcats do, but it's on the docket for both of them. Now, it could be good. BYU did okay with the last storm scenario. I mean, with that game versus the Utes with the rain coming down, it worked out. So maybe that's their good luck charm, and maybe that's going to be the key in Provo this week.
So I actually was in Eagle Mountain during the most of the parts of that BYU-Utah game, kind of watching it from my house, and I saw on the TV the rain's coming down, so I step out onto my back porch. It is dry, and I look across the valley, and there's just a rain cloud right over the BYU-Utah game, just dumping on them. It was kind of like a weird, isolated rainstorm that came through Provo.
Yeah, I feel like that. And so that's what we're going to see this weekend, too. So that happens with the southerly flow in the monsoon season. Isolated activity really starts to bubble up. So you get that heating of the day. And so in some areas, there's more moisture potential. The surface gets hotter and those storms can develop easier. So it is kind of, I like to call it popcorn, because it pops up in some spots and others. You're like, nah, it's gorgeous out. I'm grilling on the back patio. But it was crazy. I saw the pictures and video coming out of that, and it was just like, yeah, heavy rain potential. And so we do have the chance of seeing those storms again. And I always get worried. So if you're packing, if you're tailgating or going to the game, bring the poncho. But you got to know, when the lightning rolls and there's a delay, you got to get to your car. I mean, seek shelter, folks. I know that sounds so crazy, but a lot of people are like, it'll pass, and it will. You should just watch it pass in your car. I get so nervous. I'm such a conniption. I love these people.
Well, you don't want any situations in any stadiums. Come on, people. Be safe out
right.
there. All right, so Utah hits the road. They're taking on San Diego State. Now, with San Diego building their new stadium, they're actually playing the game in Carson, California. So is this like Brick from Anchorman, where it's really easy to do the weather down there? I mean, is there any issues in Southern California at all?
Okay, so it is kind of like Anchorman, and I specialize in sunshine, not throwing shade, so those meteorologists, I'm sure, do a good job, but yeah, it's not going to be the toughest. Actually, they're going to see some morning fog for that game in Carson, so as you get ready and you're heading out, there will be some fog to wake up to. It should clear by noon, but temperatures are going to be actually a little cooler, mid-70s, well, San Diego to a T, so it will be really, really pleasant. Dry conditions expected, but the fog will be the one thing in the morning, and you'll wake up, if you're going to go down there and you're going to root, you're going to be like, why? There's no visibility. But that's just the maritime climate. So it'll be nice. And yes, I feel like those people, they're lucky. They sleep on the job. How many times can you tell people 70s? I need the four seasons, gentlemen. I can't. If we need wins and losses. If it's always a tie, I'm bored.
It's the easiest job on the planet, weatherman in San Diego. All right, finally,
stay
classy. Stay classy, yeah. I'm going to be in Colorado Springs, Utah State, and Air Force. What are we looking at up there?
Aggies, oh, that's going to be a good game. Colorado Springs is really, really pretty. It's going to be hot, surprisingly. Upper 80s expected for Colorado Springs. Yeah, so high 88 in Colorado Springs for the day. As the game kind of kicks off, it'll start to cool. Partly cloudy skies, light breeze, but dry conditions there. So actually the out-of-town games this week have a better chance with dry conditions for quiet weather as opposed to Utah, because we've got those storms that want to kind of push in. Now that's the southwesterly flow coming from the south. also most noticeable in Southern and Central, which is why Provo will have the best chance. But the out-of-town game, Colorado Springs, is going to be nice. It's going to be hot, and it will start to cool, but it'll be a good game.
All right, so you mentioned, you know, being on the back on the grill. You were part of our ribs competition last year as a judge.
Oh, yes, I was.
But when you're at home and you're firing up the grill, what's the meal of choice there?
Oh, boy. I mean, like, who says no to a steak? Ever. Nobody. And if you do, we got to talk. I mean, listen, I love vegetables, too, but I'm a steak gal. But if I'm – this is going to – you can't judge me. I love a hot dog. I'm just simple.
Hey, no judgment here.
Like, throw a burger out. Like, I mean, like, I'm all about it. Ribs are terrific. I'll take anything from the grill. I'll take a grilled portobello. I'm not going to judge. If it's got that good taste, I'm just throw some cheese on it. I'm going to rock with that. I'm all about the barbecue. And you got to soak it up because, guys, we've got changes coming in the weather world. So if you want to grill, enjoy these last few days of summer. Next week, the temperatures, they're going to drop. It's going to feel like football weather. It's going to be a change. So, yeah.
Really?
It's bad news, Alana.
Yeah.
You could have left without that, Alana.
I'm so sorry, but that just means you have to wear the flip-flops all this week. I am. Everybody's like, are you going to put on your heels? No. I got this pedicure. I'm going to rock it until we're in the 60s. Okay, folks? Let's just roll with it.
Oh, I love it, man. You're the best. Alana Brophy, catcher, the chief meteorologist on ABC4. Killing it as always. Hey, what's your game? What are you fired up to watch this weekend?
I would like to see the Utes kind of win. I want to see BYU do well. The fact when they beat Utah, I'd love for Storm to hit again. I know that's terrible, and for them to take home another win. I want everyone to win. Aggies to play well. Wildcats are fantastic. O-Town's my jam. I'm a Northern Utah gal. I can't root against anyone, but I am pumped. I want to see the Utes do well in San Diego. I really hope that they can pull it together.
Let's be honest. You're just waiting for college basketball, aren't you?
I count the days. I just dry clean my jersey. It hangs in a case. I'm ready to put it on. And I don't want any of the haters. Keep your haterade, okay? Gonzaga is a fine team, and I'm not going to talk about it with anybody who doesn't think so. That's how I roll.
Oh, man. Alana, you're leaving me with cold weather and Gonzaga talk. This is killing me.
Oh, you deserve it. Come on. Variety is the spice of life. I love you both. Good luck at the games. I hope that it's fantastic. Enjoy it. And I hope that we have a great, great college football weekend.
Alana, you're the best.
Thanks,
we'll
Alana.
See you again next week.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you later.
Alana Brophy, chief meteorologist. I think she corrected me one time when I said meteorologist.
Yeah, she did quickly.
That's chief meteorologist to you.
Darn right.
Buddy.
So, rain clouds and storms possible for
Possible for
Saturday.
Weber State, but more likely Provo.
So, 6 o'clock kick in Ogden for that Weber State James Madison, and then you've got the 8:30 kick for BYU Arizona State in Provo. Alana is saying, pack the poncho.
Yeah, you might get a little rain. And Weber State fans, forget about the rain. Don't worry about it. You need to go support that 9th-ranked football team as they take on 3rd-ranked James Madison. It is a huge game coming up this Saturday, September 18th, 6 o'clock start time. Purchase your tickets now at WeberStateSports.com or by calling 801-626-8500. We'll kick off your Ute preview show maybe with Frank Dolce. I don't know. Frank's not here yet. We'll find out coming up next right here on the Zone Sports Network.